This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and good morning. Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. I'm Doug Karsh. That is Scott the Gator Anderson. How are you today, Scott?
Doing all right.
Yeah?
Yeah. Just trying to prepare for Snowmageddon.
Okay, so here's my question. I never prepare for Snowmageddon. I do nothing. And I'm reading stories about the local, hey, there's a run on milk and bread and... Obviously, Kang yesterday couldn't find salt. We told that story. He ended up trying to steal it from a Meijer accidentally. Well, he didn't try to. He thought he was buying salt, and it turned out it was the Meijer supply of salt that they used to salt their own walkways.
Which, by the way, that must be the good stuff if they don't want to sell it to me.
Yeah, I think so. I think you need to go back and see if you can tap into that supply.
I'm going to keep trying.
But... Am I an irresponsible adult, an irresponsible protector of my family, an irresponsible provider if I'm not out there hoarding goods? I never have.
No, I'm not a hoarder of goods type thing. I'm just, getting mentally prepared. There's a checklist of things that you want to make sure that you do or that you have to do. Are you ready just in case, hey, power goes out, where the flashlights are, where the candles are, something like that. If you've got children get ready, for school and stuff, you make sure that they know what the protocols are for the snow day. And, how does that change if you're a parent? I imagine it's different now. It's probably easier to deal with a snow day now than what it was pre-COVID. I say that because pre-COVID, people were working in office buildings and stuff like that. And now today,
more
people are working at home. So maybe it's easier from that standpoint. For me, It was really just, I called my mom last night and wanted to make sure that she's going to be all set for what's coming.
That's you're being a great son.
That this is true.
Maybe I should check in on mom and dad.
To make sure that they get the service that comes in and plows the driveway, because it's not just what's going to happen tonight into tomorrow morning. Apparently Saturday is supposed to be pretty rough too. So you got a daily dose of it. Or a couple doses of it.
Free Press put out something today that I found fascinating. We were trying to figure out whether we should do anything with it. But it was like predictions by inches of how much snow many cities in Michigan are going to get. And I'm like, well, this is kind of fun. What do we do with this? And we came up with nothing. But give me a city. Just give me a random city.
Rockford.
Rockford, Michigan is expected to get, see, here it is. It's not listed. I knew this was going to happen. Give me another city.
Taylor,
not listed.
You're better off going obscure.
All right. Sterling Heights.
I said obscure.
Sorry, I went obscure. I thought.
You think Sterling Heights is obscure?
I don't know. I thought Rockford may have been. But
yes, go that path. Like Rockford. Keep going that way. Like weird. Central.
This is the problem with the list. This is why we weren't going to do it. I thought it could be fun.
Algonac.
Not listed. Good God. This is not your fault.
Almont. You're asking me to name cities, and then the King says go obscure, and I'm going to Almont.
I mean, there's like 50 cities on this list, and none of them, you haven't mentioned any of them.
Well, so I went to Sterling Heights.
It's not your fault. I didn't mean to. Maybe we should just strike this from the record.
Westland.
Westland is not listed. How about Warren? Guess Warren.
I know. Are you kidding me?
I know.
Why don't you just tell me a city?
Yeah. Warren is expecting 9 inches. Mayo expecting 6 inches. Onaway, 5 inches. Bah. Cadillacs 9 inches. Baldwin 4 inches. Cadillac 6 inches.
Oh, we're going all over the state. I was just thinking metro area.
Fremont 5 inches. Harrison 6 inches. Houghton Lake 6 inches. Howell 9 inches. There are some communities that are expecting 10 inches. They're projecting 10 inches. Here are the 10-inch communities in wow. the state of Michigan. Is your community a 10-inch community? It's 10 inches. It's 10 inches is too much.
That sounds like it's way too much.
All right, here are your 10-inch communities according to the Free Press. Bay City, 10 inches. Flint, 10 inches. Imlay City is getting 10 inches. Lapeer, you're getting 10 inches. Pontiac, prepare for 10 inches. Port Huron, you're getting 10 inches.
All right, so wait, hang on. So Pontiac's getting, what about Bloomfield Hills? If Pontiac's getting 9.
Do you think Bloomfield Hills is on this list?
Dude, I don't know what the hell. You're telling me go obscure. Now you're saying go mainstream. I'm just saying, because Pontiac is right next there. Is Waterford on there?
Nope.
Is Birmingham on there?
Birmingham on there. Nope.
Southfield.
Dude, I don't know how they came up with these cities, but you have managed to hit on. I mean, they don't have a lot of Detroit suburbs. It's around the state more than anything. But hey, I'm not done with the 10-inch cities. Don't you want to know all the 10-inchers?
No.
Okay. Well, then never mind. So I guess that concludes our weather talk.
So it sounds like if you get up in the northern Oakland County, you're going to get, and beyond, you're going to get the 9 to 10
I'm
inches.
I'm a little surprised that some of the northern Michigan communities aren't getting smashed like apparently through the middle of the state. Petoskey's getting 4 inches.
Yeah, well, this is the Traverse band City. Of snow.
Traverse City's getting 5 inches. Yeah, I mean, you typically think up north you get more, but I guess you're right. It's this particular pattern. And this is...
And the UP is just laughing.
Cumulative snow, yeah, right. Cumulative snowfall That's between cute. tonight/tomorrow storm and Saturday. This is the...
Oh, this is from both days. This is both storms combined?
Yes, this is both storms combined.
I was like, wait a minute, this is more than I thought we were going to get to.
Yeah, it's both storms combined.
Okay, gotcha.
So maybe I should be hoarding bread.
You guys don't eat bread.
That's an excellent point. We don't eat a lot of bread.
I thought you ate dill bread.
Well, I haven't been able to find the proper dough, Kang.
Well, you can't make dill bread without the dill dough. So. No,
proper.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's got to be proper.
No one's hoarding stuff, are they? This is ridiculous. This isn't Georgia. This is Michigan. Well, I mean, it's a day, too, people. We'll be fine.
Doug took it to that level. I was just talking about getting prepared for it. You know, jokingly, make sure your snowblower is ready to go.
Okay.
You got the shovels.
Salt. Yeah,
shovel. You know, stretch out a little bit. You know,
stretch out. Gator, there's a storm coming, so Gator's going to break into stretching.
Yeah, you know.
Storm coming. Let me get to yoga.
Yeah, let's go. LFG. And Doug goes right to, oh, my God.
Well, I don't go to
start
oh my
hoarding
God.
Again.
That's the point. Is I don't start hoarding stuff, and it's starting to make me feel irresponsible.
I don't know if anybody is hoarding stuff.
Well, let me see if I can find the news story that said, you know, bread on shelves and milk disappearing.
Well, that just might be what's going on, regardless of, you know, Snowmageddon 25. Yeah,
everything's going so smooth right now, isn't it? 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1, The Ticket. Michigan Auto Law, auto accident attorneys. They specialize only in auto and truck accidents. Many law firms don't specialize, but focus on many different areas of the law. Because they specialize, they have the largest truck and auto accident settlement of any lawyer or law firm in Michigan. Educated consumers will choose Michigan Auto Law. Do your research and learn more. Once they take your case, they'll communicate with you. They are the best in customer service and satisfaction. They care more, you win more. Michigan Auto Law, auto accident attorneys. Visit autolaw.com. That's autolaw.com. Somehow, some way. Gator continued to guess cities during the commercial break.
Is Harrison on the list?
Harrison is on the list. Prepare for 6 inches, Harrison.
Okay.
You ready for that, Harrison?
That sounds really dirty. It's like you're calling somebody out. Hey, Harrison, you ready for this?
Isn't that the whole point of this bit?
Well, most of them, I just think a city, and then you have one that sounds like a name. Oh.
Well. Anyway, thank you, Free Press, for
what
the...
What about you, Port Austin?
Port Austin on the list. Port Austin.
Dirty if you just say Austin.
Yeah, Port
We're
Austin.
Not in Texas.
Sorry. No Port Austin. You want names that sound like a person? Claire.
Don't do it.
Don't. How much is Claire getting?
Don't
How
say
much
it.
Is Claire getting?
Don't say it.
What's Claire getting? Come on.
How many inches is Claire prepared for?
6 inches.
Claire's ready for 6 inches. Okay.
Hey, man, Grant. Buckle up, Grant. 5 inches coming your way. Jackson. Ready for 5 inches?
Oh, boy.
Do you know anybody named Lowell?
I do.
Lowell, 6 inches coming your way. Mason.
Mason?
Mason, buckle up for 6 inches.
Detroit. Basketball.
Do you know anybody named West Branch?
No.
All right, so there you go. We should move on.
We should, yes, before we get in trouble.
It's already.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, should I read the text?
I'm guessing no.
Kang, you're the producer.
They're ticket text, man. People just want to be heard.
Jake in a truck. My community is not a 10-inch community. My community is more of an average community.
Average is fine.
So, I mean, they're talking, what, that would be like around 4 to 6?
Yeah. It's average.
Bruno in Dearborn. My residence is a 10-inch community. Uncensored. Dearborn. Ed in Clawson. DraftKings is probably going to start setting odds on these snow totals. Lock your bets in early. Yeah, Gator, here's a parlay. Snow total parlay.
Oh, I love the parlay.
Yep. Robert says, I can believe Flint is a 10-inch city, but definitely not Imlay City or Lapeer. John and Lake Orion, this is the dirtiest segment of radio I've ever heard.
Snowiest.
A lot of snow coming.
Snow.
Nick in Sterling Heights. Doug sounds like he's reading for auditions for an adult movie.
Never thought it'd happen to me.
Doug's the weather Oprah. You get 10 inches. You get 10 inches.
Right. Doug handing out inches to everybody.
I'm just reading the reports. That's it.
It's a lot of snow. Just getting prepared. Just be ready for it.
Yeah. Yep.
Does it change it? Well, no, your high school kid is old enough. Well, you're not really worried about snow day.
No, I mean, look, my wife's a teacher, and the kids on Tuesday were planning to have Thursday off already. So there's this could happen. Very well could happen. And so that might be the only thing, like, parents have to, okay, what are we going to do if there is no school? But all right, so the Pistons. You know, one of the formulas to win a basketball game is to jump out to a 50-point lead.
Well, the object of the game is to outscore your opponent.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get off to a 71-29 halftime lead, I think you're probably
in good shape.
Yeah.
You're in good shape.
How many people watching that game were thinking, maybe they weren't thinking this, I don't know why I just thought of this, but, you know, my high school team, if we came out in the second half, we could defend a 50-point lead.
Probably not. You might have thought that, but I would think it would be.
Oh, it'll be. Yeah, I would shut think up that real quick.
Would not happen. You know, I mean, if an NBA team was up 50, could you check in and not blow the lead just by you being on the floor?
It'd basically, be 5-on-4 basketball.
Exactly.
You being the weak link.
Up 50.
I mean, I've got fouls to give. For sure.
Yeah. You just foul out as quickly as possible. Yeah,
that's probably what it would happen.
Yeah.
You know, try to get in the way of somebody.
Yep.
Try to do my best to box out. I think that it would be, the lead would dwindle quickly.
Yeah.
Very quickly.
Hey, man.
My lack of a vertical leap, that's definitely a detriment to my teammates.
So,
can't play zone.
1 year ago today, the Pistons were 8-44.
My God.
1 year ago today, 8-44.
And now they're 28-26.
28-26. They're now a game and a half clear of the play-in. They are 18-10 after the rough start. And it brings us to the classic Stoney question. Is this something or nothing? And we got a tweet overnight from a listener who goes by the name of Reno Tough. I'm going to assume that Reno Tough lives in Reno, Nevada. Which right now projected, I don't know how many inches are projected for Reno, but he says, okay, and this is why I'm presuming he's out of market. Okay, I just caved in and bought the NBA League Pass for the rest of the year. The Pistons now have my attention. Detroit basketball. So it's getting on the radar again. I mean, I went back and looked at 8-44 last year on this date. 2 years ago, they were 15-42. 3 years ago, they were 12-44. You know, the fact that they are two games over 500 technically, and obviously being average by the very definition. And yet this Piston team to me feels above average, feels way above average because it's all relative to what we've seen. The buy-in from the people, you know, my man went out and decided to spend money to watch him the rest of the way. I think you become interesting when you're a threat. Like you could draw in outside fringe interest when you're a threat to win a playoff series. And, you know, the resume and the record just keeps getting better and better. And over a 28 game span to be playing almost, you know, 667 basketball is very impressive. They got another game against the Bulls coming up tonight and going to the All-Star break. They go into the All-Star break three games over, 19-10 in their last 29 games. And really looking the part of a playoff team that could win a round.
Yeah, and we talked about this with the Red Wings. Does the break come at a bad time? And I think the same question be asked of the Pistons. Yes, they play tonight, but then they're off for the next 9 days. They don't play again until February 21st, which would be next Friday at San Antonio. Does that kind of feel the same way? They're playing really well. You want them to keep going. I want to see this, and yet obviously, players deserve to get a little bit of a rest here. I'm sure everybody would like to rest some aches and pains, but there is some serious momentum going. And you would expect that they would beat Chicago tonight. I don't think they'll get out to a 71-29 halftime lead, but they are the superior team. But expect to be a lot closer, but they should still win the game, right? So this is an opportunity for them to get three games above 500 going into the break, and then to come out of the break taking on, you know, some modest teams. They've got chances here, man. And then they've got some tougher games coming up after that. But they have a chance maybe to be 4 or 5 games above 500 before they're taking on the likes of Boston and Denver.
It's a wonderful opportunity for a team that's trying to regain some traction in Detroit. And look, I get with the hardcore fans that have been with them all along. God bless you. And you've got to be ecstatic. But it's sort of that fringe fan, the people that have checked out. Like, I read those records on this date the last 3 years. I would say that anybody that isn't a hardcore Piston fan had checked out by February 12th of 2024, yeah. 2023, 2022. Like, people just stopped paying attention. And I can understand why. But now they had the floor to themselves this week. Hockey, football's done. Hockey is in the Four Nations break. Baseball hasn't started playing even spring training games yet, and the Pistons go out and they blow out a Bulls team that pulled the plug, made some trades, and look like they might be in the fail for Flag kind of portion of their season, trying to get Cooper Flag next year. But hey, it's great. Something or nothing. What the Pistons are doing, are they on your radar? Have you invested in any way, even if it's just your time, the appointment watching? Did you buy tickets to a game? Are you talking about the Pistons with your friends? Like, is it a topic that comes up with you and your boys sitting around talking? It's Carson Anderson, Open Lines, 97.1, The Ticket. Feedback coming in. Nick says, I would pay anywhere between $800 to $1,000 to see Gator on the floor trying to help defend a 50-point lead.
I mean, pay me to do it. I'll got no shame. I'll get out there and we'll lose the lead, but is that what you want?
This guy would pay money to see it. Okay. The two best moves Troy Weaver made as GM was not overthinking it and drafting Cade at number one and drafting Assur at number five. A few years ago, the kid has a chance to be a star. That's from an unnamed texter. Another one here, Assur is a future superstar, and he could just get average. If he could just get average as a shooter, wow.
Well, keep in mind, Assur Thompson had to go through a lot of adversity health-wise, and now it looks like he's good to go, and he's still so young. You see what his twin brother's doing, and he get excited. And you know, Assur Thompson is a guy who loves to play defense, likes to give that effort, and that's appealing to Pistons fans. If you add offense to that, it's great. It's the shot will always be a work in progress when you're younger. Keep working at it and see if he can be viable.
I mean, he's pretty young, right? And yet his brother's ability to score more than he has. I mean, I guess all twins aren't created equal, but I'm finding it to be encouraging.
But he was also able to play. I mean,
yeah, that helps.
Yeah,
that helps.
When you're available to grow, and there you go.
So anyway, look, they did what they should do against a Bulls team that has completely pulled the plug on the season. And so we'll see what it leads to. 248-539-9797. Have they gotten on your radar at all? Meanwhile, college basketball last night, Michigan holds serve at home and beats Purdue. Did you have a chance to take in any of that game or the Michigan State game last night?
I did the Michigan State game most of the second half.
Yeah. Well, let's start there since you saw that. The Spartans, Tom Izzo afterwards, he didn't get super complicated about his analysis of what happened. He was like, look, our interior defense was not great, and we didn't shoot it. Michigan State is a poor shooting three-point team, and when they have a bad night for them, he was right. They got open looks, and he kept saying, we got good shots. They just didn't go in for us.
And then they started passing up on some as well. And look, they didn't get the performances they thought they were going to get. Jace Richardson had a career night on Saturday, was it Saturday's game? And then not so much last night. It's not all on him. It's a whole team effort why they weren't able to do it. They started turning the ball over in the second half. It just wasn't good. Indiana was up to the task. Michigan State wasn't.
Malik Renew was an incredibly difficult guard, and then they made enough free throws. I mean, State started, they only had three fouls in the second half, so they started fouling with like 2 minutes and 45 seconds left.
That last 2.5 minutes.
You mean that last 45 minutes?
I mean, seriously, yeah. I can't remember a game where it took that long to play that, because the strategy was, you know, foul.
Well, they had
both teams.
They had to start fouling. Yeah, so you got in this weird place where Michigan State had to foul just to get to seven fouls, because they only had three fouls with 2.5 minutes to go. So they start fouling. Then Indiana was constantly protecting a three-point lead, and so they were fouling before Michigan State could get a three-point shot off. And, I mean, I was like, okay.
Which also, didn't it seem like Michigan State's strategy was, okay, we know they're going to foul, so we'll just take the foul, rather than trying to get yourself open for a three-point shot and pass it around a little quicker?
Every time Indiana fouled, it felt like they were fouling too early. You didn't have to foul in the backcourt.
No.
You're trying to burn clock before you make them shoot free throws. So they were fouling probably earlier than Michigan State was expecting it. And then both teams basically were making free throws. It turned into this free throw shooting contest
and back and forth.
Yeah, between whether, you know, was, you know, Fiddler hit a couple and McKenzie and Bacco made everything. And, but the bottom line is here, Michigan State's NET ranking dropped 4 spots, and that's one of the key metrics when it comes to the March Madness seedings, which Saturday's the day they release the initial, here's where everybody stands, where you see who the top 16 seeds are, and both Michigan and Michigan State, you know it's obvious why you want to be there, easier path to the Final Four. In Ann Arbor, Michigan, there's a long way to go, but now they're in first place in the Big Ten with 7 games left, and that was a seeding game for Michigan to beat Purdue. Braden Smith from Purdue is the best player I've seen in the Big Ten this year. He is a very, very difficult guard at his size to be able to get in the lane and get a shot off. He's money from three. He hit two big threes late. In fact, when that game was on the line, Braden Smith either was making the shot or making the pass that led to the shot. But Michigan was a deeper team last night. That helped. Early in the game, they couldn't get any calls. Late in the game, they got some calls. But if you look at Purdue, they got the Trey Kaufman-Wren kid, who is a very difficult guard in the low block. And Michigan did a pretty poor job early, got better later. And then they've got Lawyer, who can provide some third-level scoring. But they aren't a very deep team. And Michigan's depth paid dividends last night. And so I guess the call here is for Michigan and Michigan State fans. These are two teams battling atop the Big Ten standings, two teams that might show up on the board on Saturday as a top four seed. To make a Final Four run, what do you want to see out of your team over the next month leading into March Madness? What do they need to prove? What would make you feel better about being a Final Four team? Because they're in positions to have good seedings, okay? Both of them are in positions to have good seeding. You know, the college basketball seasons are remembered for what you do in March. During the regular season, you scratch and claw. You give everything you can to winning the conference. But what is your team lacking? Wolverine and Spartan fans, what would you like to see them shore up before March to make a Final Four run?
Well, for Michigan State, I'd like to see a second real viable shooter emerge. I mean, you got Jaden Akins, and then you never know who the second guy is going to be. I'd like it to be Chase Richardson. They're giving him the minutes now. He played 33 minutes last night. He started on Saturday, so he started two games in a row now. You know he can score. He's capable of it. But is he ready to take this big leap and be that guy to be a reliable scorer? They need someone to emerge. Because it's so spread out for Michigan State, nobody has really taken it and run with it to be that guy on a night-in-night-out basis. Akins is the most capable of it, but he needs somebody to be a running partner. I'd like that. It'd be nice if they had, you know, a real inside presence, to a go-to type player that you know that consistently you throw the ball into the blender there and he's going to turn it into 2 points and maybe a three-point play with a foul.
What about Frankie Fiddler? Because when he was at Omaha, he was a better three-point shooter than this. Kind of streaky. It's funny, if you look back at his career stats, he went from 43% his first year to 28% his second year to 35.6% his third year. Now he's down to 17%. And, you know, I think that's a guy who in his career has shot it.
I'm sure they expected him to be a much better shooter than what he's shown to be this year. But it's coming to Michigan State from another program has to be difficult because you're asked to do different things. And if you're not up to speed in doing those things, whether it's you're not willing to or you're just not used to it, there's a learning curve there before you get trusted again to do the things that you thought that you were brought in to do. So with him, I think it's been a disappointment with how poor he has shot, because I know I expected this to be a guy that was going to average, 12, 14 points a game and be – a lights-out three-point shooter when you need to, and he hasn't been. And nobody has been for Michigan State from three-point land.
For Michigan, I would say the number one thing for this team moving forward is reps together. When you recruit basically an entire team's worth of players out of the portal, when Dusty May took over, the guys that were here last year, there's Numari, Barnett, and there is Will Cheddar. Outside of that, everybody else that's contributing is new. And I'd like to think that's why they lead the Big Ten in turnovers. You know, they average 14.5 turnovers a game, well clear of second place Michigan State and Penn State, or at 12.2 turnovers per game. I keep thinking to myself, all right, are they going to... Or is it just reps together? They haven't played together. It's an entire new team that's led to the turnovers. Like some of the real fundamental things, like I think back to John Beilein was was always preaching, you know, two-handed passes. Don't try and make the one-handed pass. And I feel like Michigan turns it over a lot on the one-handed pass when you get into the minutiae of why it happens. But I also think probably the bigger reason it happens is because it's an entirely new roster playing together for the first time. If those guys, if this team can cut down on turnovers, then a Final Four run seems to be way more probable because they just turn it over at a prodigious rate. 248-539-9797. What does your team need to do, Wolverine Spartan fans, to make a Final Four run? It is Carson Anderson on a Wednesday on 97.1 The Ticket. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Open lines, 248-539-9797. Interesting story today. I saw the Lions could save $13 million by cutting these two players. Would you do it? We'll get to that today at 11:05. Meantime, we're talking to some basketball Piston fans. How have they changed, you know, their play? How have they changed your behavior patterns, your investment level? Do your friends talk about them? Are you getting tickets? What excites you the most? Look, this team a year ago on this date was 8-44. Now they're over 500 and trending towards home court in the postseason, which is hard to believe whether they'll get there or not. Well, still got work to do. Michigan and Michigan State fans, big games last night. Wolverines now in first place in the Big Ten. Michigan State still with a very, very strong resume. I would imagine Saturday, and look, it's a disappointment losing at home to Indiana. But, you know, that's the thing about the regular season in basketball. You don't want to suffer too many of those losses, but you can recover from them. And Saturday when the brackets come out, both these teams could be in the first reveal of what March Madness top 16 seeds look like, coveted spots. What do you need to see from your team to make a Final Four run? 248-539-9797. Let's go to Bobby, our 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Bobby.
How's it going? How are you guys today?
We're good. All right. Thank you.
So I was at the game last night, big diehard Spartan MSU fan, and going down to Champaign this weekend. But two things I think that need to happen for this team to really grow into what they could be. First is Jaden Akins, that senior guy. He's supposed to be that it factor, and he just hasn't been it. He shot, 19% from three last night? It's just that's not acceptable. And then his dribble drive, it seems like he could get that every single time. If he just comes off the perimeter and just dribble drives, it seems like it goes in every time. And then the second guy is Frankie Fiddler. We picked him up from Omaha to be that three-point shooter, and he's just not being that. I mean, he was one of the best cards in the portal, and he's not being what he could be.
You know, I just looked this up. He had 17 games last year where he had 20 points or more, and a number of 30-point games last year. This year with Michigan State, he hasn't scored more than 18 points in a single game, and that by far is his high total. He also has not knocked down two three-point shots in the game this year. Not once has he knocked down two.
Wow.
That's stunning.
That's not acceptable, but he's supposed to be that guy. We knew that we had that problem, and so we picked him up, and it's just not happening. And so we don't have that Matt McQuaid that can hit that corner three when you're down eight, you're down 10. You can't come back when you have to dunk it with Cohen Carr every time.
You know, it's interesting you say that, and the question is, and you're right about, I mean, we already brought Fiddler up. The question is, this late, I mean, he's making a jump, right? When you go from Omaha to the Big Ten, Reuben Jones at Michigan went from North Texas to the Big Ten, and both of those guys have seen precipitous drops in their three-point shooting percentage. So I guess you look at that and you go, okay, but can they still, is it too late to think that they can't, you know, return to form, that they've got to get used to the game at this level? The Big Ten basketball is extraordinarily physical, and so, you know, you have to get used to that. Which, you know, is a theory I've heard from a coach is why Big Ten teams get to March and don't win national championships is because they spend the entire season playing a physical beat 'em up, you know, ground and pound, we're going to win the rushing game kind of basketball. And then they get to March and the games aren't officiated that way and they have problems. But, you know, making the jump from a lower level to high, you know, power four conference level basketball isn't easy. But is it too late? I don't think it's too late. I don't think it's too late to have the light go on. I mean, you're not a freshman, but you're a freshman at this level. It's your first time around at this level.
Yeah, you're also your only time around at this level. So he's going to – if he's going to be that guy, you got to be willing to shoot. And I don't know if it's a confidence thing with him or if it's a lack of confidence thing from Izzo in him, but Fiddler just has not been that guy that I think many people expect him to be, definitely better than what he is right now. More part of this team, and he just hasn't been.
Michigan and Michigan State fans, what does it take for your team to make a Final Four run? Will writes in, the Spartans' lack of ability to shoot from beyond the three-point line makes me really miss Matt McQuaid. Well, two McQuaid mentions.
Never thought we were going to have one McQuaid mention, let alone two.
Mike in Columbiaville, I put my $10 free bet from the Eli kick thing on the Pistons' money line. That's how much I've checked into them. Well played, Mike. Michigan's biggest problem is turnovers. If they can cut down on those, they can make the Final Four. That's from Mike. Jason in Oak Park. I would like to see, and this is a Michigan State fan, I would like to see somebody hit a dang three-point shot. What were they? 4-for-22 shooting? That's ridiculous. Needs to improve if they want to make a run.
They're actually 4-for-23. It's even worse. They didn't turn the ball over that much last night. They turned over 11 times, but I think 7 of those were in the second half. It started to look bad when you needed to get stops and then score it yourself to really cut that lead. They weren't able to do it. And then it looked like they had it, and then they turn it over, and then I think it was a three-point lead turned into a nine-point lead like that. It was brutal to watch, and then, of course, everything slows down at the end with all the free throws. They just couldn't get the big basket when they needed to.
Michigan must cut down on the turnovers, less than 10, and better free throw shooting. That's from Reggie and Romeo.
As a team, they shoot pretty well from free throws, don't they? 73% or something?
I'd have to look up, you know, how that is relative to everybody else, because a lot of their, it's middle of the pack in the Big Ten, a lot of their critical ball handlers aren't great free throw shooters. Like last night, Danny Wolf had a chance to put it out of reach, and he missed two. Earlier in the game, Roddy Gale missed two at the line. You know, but Wolf was great at the end of the Indiana game. Like he was money when they needed free throws there. But at the end of games, the right people have to have the ball in their hands to shoot the free throws. 248-539-9797. More feedback. Michigan absolutely must cut down on the turnovers and play much tougher D. That's from Dan in Tennessee. For Michigan State, they have to play better defensively collectively. Secondary help has been awful, and that hurts the scoring since the fast break points have gone down at the same time. Defense leads to transition points.
Well, Indiana shot 48% from the field last night because they had a lot of easy shots. They didn't shoot well from three-point range, only 23%. But when you're shooting 48% from the field, that's telling you a lot of buckets being made right around the rim. And that's a problem. Michigan State did not shoot well last night, 38.2% from the field. And when you're getting no points from Jeremy Fears, when you're getting only 3 points from Xavier Booker, who knocked down 1-3, and that's the only thing he knocked down all day, that's not going well. You know. And Cohen Carr, who's a highlight film, only took one shot in the game and only played 11 minutes. This did not look like your typical Michigan State game last night. And I'm not sure why that is.
Frank writes in, Wolverine fan here, definitely protect the ball and a more consistent effort. This team had a lot of lapses. Maybe they should do more substitutions. It was interesting because Sam Walters didn't play last night. I'm pretty sure he didn't play. He didn't play last night, and they got LJ Kaysen, the freshman back in there, who gave him some quality minutes. There's still some maneuvering and trying to figure out the best lineup for them, and there are different lineups for different teams, different matchups, which is what I assume is going on. Andy in a mail truck says, Michigan needs to cut down on the turnovers and get tougher on the glass. Do that and they can make a run. Purdue, I think they had 7 offensive rebounds in the first half. Multiple second chance opportunities. And that was reminiscent of the first game that they played against the Boilermakers. Regarding the Pistons, I live in the Bay Area, writes an unnamed texter. During last night's Piston game, I bought some tickets to the Pistons at the Warriors in a few weeks. I'm definitely paying more attention to the Pistons. Love the way this team is playing. Haven't attended a game in ages, but I definitely plan to. They are a likable group to watch. They are a likable group to watch. Josh writes in, I just went out and bought a Cade jersey today, boys. I'm back in with this team.
All right.
James and Lyndon, love the Pistons, but I still hate Tom Gores, so it's still no for me, dog.
Wow. Hate?
Here's the thing.
The guy's done, I mean, in the last
eight, ten months,
let's look at what he's done the last 8-10 months. He bought out Monty Williams out of $65 million or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
He got rid of Troy Weaver, hired Trajan Langdon and J.B. Bickerstaff. They went out and acquired some more players of substance. And now this team is a couple games above 500 and trending in definitely the right direction. They've surpassed the preseason win total. They've more than doubled their win total from a year ago. And the word hate is still thrown around with the owner?
Well, you made the point that is there any doubt that he would gladly pay any luxury tax, pass any apron to win?
I mean, honestly, if this team is up against it and they're tight, oh, I don't know if they're going to be able to, are they going to be able to sign Malik Beasley? I mean, he's going to be a free agent. Are they going to be able? Of course they're going to be able to sign him. You don't think Tom Gores is going to spend the money? If there's an owner in Detroit that looks like he's willing to spend money, isn't it Tom Gores?
Yep. Mike at work says, hey, guys, I decided to buy a month of FanDuel after the Wings won in overtime last week. I've watched all the Piston games since then. I'm excited to have something to watch after the NFL season.
Yeah, fortunately, the Pistons and Red Wings are both entertaining to watch. Unfortunately, after tonight, they're both going into hiatus for 9 days.
I think Thompson will be Robin. He's still on minutes restrictions, and when he's on the floor, his gravity is noticeable. He's so physically gifted, man. That's from an unnamed texter. 248-539-9797. All right, you want to continue to talk? How have the Pistons caught your attention and changed your behavior patterns? Michigan and Michigan State fans, what's it going to take for your team to make a Final Four run? A suggestion that the Lions cut these two players to save nearly $13 million. Does that make sense? We'll get to that at 11:05 here on 97.1 The Ticket.